Thank you all for having me today. I really appreciate it. I was honored to have Pastor Brad ask me to speak today. Pastor Brad is busy playing baseball right now. If we could get a picture of Pastor Brad in his prime. I think that picture was taken in 1952. I think he just graduated college. I'm not sure. I joke him because he's younger than me. So, anyway, I hope he's having a great time. I really have a great appreciation of the time he puts in every week on our behalf. I have been struggling the last 2 weeks to try to find enough hours to put together a message for us today. And he does that every week for us. Not only that, the rest of the time required to run a church, love on a congregation. I'm sure it takes a toll, and I'm glad he's really got a good chance to get away and play some baseball. So, but I do know that he's praying for us, because he always prays for us, and a pastor's job is never done. So keep him in your prayers too. Bring you home safe, no knee injuries or anything like that. So I wanted to thank Val Lialli, who does such a great job here in the church office, doesn't she? Yes. One of her jobs, that's right. One of her jobs is the bulletin. I know she gets help. But one of her jobs is the bulletin to put that together. You were handed a bulletin when you came in. And so far, I haven't seen any misspellings, wrong dates, bad information, or anything. I haven't caught it if there is. So she does a great job. I cannot say that for the same for all churches. So let's take a look at a few of these church bulletin bloopers, if we can. These were actually printed in church bulletins or on marquees. The sermon this morning, Jesus Walks on Water. The sermon tonight, Searching for Jesus. Next is, ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. I think that one was on purpose if you don't, you know. This is one of my favorites. Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. This one's for Nicole. Next Thursday, there will be tryouts for the choir. They need all the help they can get. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, What is Hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. And last, but certainly not least, due to the rector's illness, Wednesday's healing services will be discontinued until further notice. Start it with a joke. That's what they always say. Well, I don't know about you, but one of the things I really like about Pastor Brad's sermons is how practical they are and how they apply to our everyday lives. It seems like whatever he talks about on Sunday comes into play during the following week. I'm not saying that's always a good thing. One thing I know about God is when we pray for something, he gives us the opportunity to prove himself faithful in those things. For example, when we pray for patience, he gives us plenty of chances to need patience, such as getting daily calls from telemarketers or going to the BMV. Sorry if anybody works there. I go to the one in Canton South. It's great. I suggest there. I'm sorry to say, though, I'm going to continue that trend, but we're not going to talk about something simple like patience today. Now, we're going to talk about love, this crazy little thing called love. I'm not going to sing a song about that. I know you guys are going like, I know that one, don't I? You do. So I've been teaching the kids the last few weeks, and we have been focusing on love. And since they are in here today, at least a few of them, thank you for coming. I'm going to continue with that theme. But I know I have adults in here, so I'm going to try to simple it down for you guys so you can understand it too. Everything I tell you today is going to be either directly from the Bible or at least refer to it. And I tell the kids that every week, every time we get together, because I want them to know that it's not just me speaking up here, it's the Bible. I'm doing the speaking, but I'm getting the information from the Bible. So, that's my job, is to do that. It's your job to pay attention to what I say so that you can judge my words to see if there is any heresy. Just because I say it from right here on the pulpit doesn't mean it's accurate. Okay, so check me. Let me know if I've misspoken about the Word of God. It's important to me. So don't yell it during church, though, please. Pastor will hear it when he's listening to this, see if I did okay, and then I'll be embarrassed. So today, talking about love, I want to talk about three different kinds of love. There's God's love for us, our love for God, and our love for each other. So first, God's love for us. For those of you who don't know, we're just going to start introducing JBQ into the children's ministries. How many people know what JBQ is? A few? Good. Okay, a couple that played. It's a game. We love games, but it's a game about the Bible and learning Bible verses. The kids sit at a big table, they get little buzzers, and there's a quiz master who asks them questions specifically about Bible scriptures. These kids are good. I mean, there's cutoff points in each question, like, when was, and they buzz in. They finish the rest of the question, and then they answer the question. I'm not kidding. It is that crazy, because no two questions have the same beginning, or they have different interruption points, as they call them. Well, the reason for doing it is not because I love games, which I do, but it's to teach the kids Bible verses. If you teach them when they're young, they're going to remember them when they're old. So, anyway, JBQ questions. So I'm telling the kids about this last week, and I asked the kids if they knew any Bible verses. And a little girl raised her hand, and she said, John 3:16. And I said, okay, what is it? And she quoted the scripture. I was so impressed with both the girl and, of course, the scripture, which is a JBQ question, by the way. So John 3:16, of course, says, for God so loved the world, he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He loved us so much that he gave us Son. I've given a lot of good gifts in my lifetime, and probably some not so great gifts. My poor dad, who actually came to see me today, which is nice, he got an ashtray every year for Christmas and his birthday the entire time I was growing up until the day he quit smoking. And I remember thinking to myself, I really wish he wouldn't have quit smoking, because I have nothing to give him now. I told that to my brother last night. My brother says, that's probably the only reason he quit smoking, so you can get him something else. I bought him every single kind, made them. It was just a mess, but there's no way he could have used them all. But anyway, that's what I did for my dad, so those weren't great. But no matter how good my gift was that I've given, it was nothing compared to God giving us Jesus. That gift doesn't go away. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. And God knew what people were going to accuse him of, how they were going to treat him, and that they would beat him and crucify him. We sang that song today. I wonder if we have the words there. It talks about he turned his face away because he was so beaten and mocked. Rhonda's teaching a lesson on communion, and she talks about how unrecognizable Jesus was because he was beaten so badly, and the diseases that were on him, and the way that we as humans treated him. And God knew that was going to happen, and he sent him anyway. That's love. Is there anything worse than giving someone a gift that they don't like or appreciate? I mean, I think it's deflating. I spend all this time thinking about the giftee. You know, what do they like? What size are they? What's their favorite color? And not what they need, but what they really want. So I give Rhonda the toaster. What? You guys never gave anybody a toaster? Come on. And she says, thanks. And she takes it and she tosses it in the cabinet, or sometimes she'll return it. She's done that a few times. How many people have done that with the gift of Jesus? They're given this great gift and they say, yeah, thanks. They throw it away. God still loves them. That's crazy. Crazy little thing called love. And he doesn't love them less because they don't accept Jesus. He doesn't love them less because they aren't going to do what he desires. And he doesn't love them less because they turn their back on him. I can't say the same that I would feel like that. I don't know about you. But that kind of love, true love, is so great that as a flawed human being, there's no way I can fully understand it. Do you agree? Yeah. Now, just because God loves him doesn't mean that there's not some serious consequences for hating him. It has consequences. Deuteronomy 7, 7 through 10 starts out by talking about how God set his affection on you. It's an action. Love is an action. God's giving us an action of love towards us. Another verse in Jeremiah 31, 3 says, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Action. That's what he does. He draws us into him. Anyway, back to Deuteronomy 7. In verse 10, things go terribly wrong for those who hate him. The verse says, but those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destruction. He will not slow to repay to their face those that hate him. It's so nice he says it twice. You know, when we're speaking in a crowd and we want to get a point across, we say things twice. We say things twice. And that's what this scripture does. He will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to pay to their face by destruction. That means when destruction happens to these people who hate God, they're not going to be sitting around going, I wonder why that happened. No, they're going to know because God's going to do it to their face. I do not want to be in that position. I don't know about you. So, that's God loving us, and he does such a great job about it. So let's talk about the second part, which we may not do such a great job of. Our love for God. Let's start with another JBQ question. I know some of you will know this. Why do we love God? Is it up behind me? No. Because he first loved us. Excellent. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. You know, as Christians, we all say, we love God. Sure. I think the important thing is, how much do we love God? Do we love him more than anything in the world? What do you love in this world? So they tell me. So we put it to music, and I don't know that they're ever going to forget that song. I know I won't. I've had some very weird requests on there that they love, but we sing it anyway, even if it doesn't fit. So, I'm going to do a little exercise in logic. It's an if-and-then type logical formula. And it says, if we are created in God's image, because the Bible says we are, is that right? And God is love, and his nature is love, which that's what it says in the Bible, then our nature is love. It only makes sense. Well, that's the way it started anyway. And then, of course, sin came in the world and ruined everything. But we got a formula for that, too, later. But the fact remains that we need to love, and we need to be loved. God created us like that. It is part of our nature. But how do we show God we love him besides singing silly songs? Well, there's a scripture, first of all, Exodus 23, that says, you shall have no other gods before me. That makes sense, right? It's a simple way to show God we love him. We put him first in our lives. Now, you guys all know I'm married. Just think, how do you think Rhonda would feel if I had another woman before her? It's okay. I know. She'd kill me, right? She is a loving wife, but I don't think I'd be up here right now. And if I was, I'd be walking with a serious limp. Aren't you glad God doesn't always take that drastic of a measure towards us when we don't put him first in our lives? I'm not sure any of us would be here. I certainly would not. So how do I show Rhonda I love her? Simple things. I spend time with her. I talk with her. I serve her. I don't mean I serve her all her meals, but I serve her. I do things for her. Those are basic acts that I can do to show her I love her. And God desires the same things. So do you guys wake up and pray? First thing you do is pray, even before your coffee? Do you think about the day and consider all the things you need God's help with? Kind of plan out the whole day. Do you spend time just letting him know that you are thankful for all he is and all he has done for you? Rhonda showed me a little cartoon meme, and it was a meme about a man and his wife. They were sitting there talking, and she says, "I want you to shout to the world how much you love me." And he leans over real close, and he whispers in her ear, "I love you." She pushes him away and says, "What are you doing? I want you to shout it to the world." And he looks at her and he says, "You are my world." So have we whispered to God lately? Is he our world? I love you. He hears us when we whisper and when we yell. So another scripture that comes to mind for this us loving God comes from John 21:15 through 17. And it's a little long, so it's maybe a little hard to read up there. I could have put it on two slides. I was lucky just to have a slide deck, to be honest. But it says, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said. 'You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And he answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep.'" In these verses, Jesus was reinstating Peter after his failure when Peter denied him. He's reinstating him. I love how Jesus always forgives us. He wants to have fellowship with us, so he invites us back in, even when we deny him. So look what Jesus says to do in order to prove to him that we love him. "Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep." I've done a whole sermon on sheep versus goats. I sing a fun song that I'm going to teach you guys too. Not you guys. You guys. About, I just want to be a sheep. Because I want to lean on Jesus. But sheep themselves are very needy. They don't do a lot on their own. They wander. They get lost. They lose focus. Kind of sounds like us. So I could have used the scripture in the third part of my message, our love for each other, because it's talking about feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. But I wanted to use it here because God loves us so much that he wants us to take care of each other in the way that he takes care of us. First, in the physical, he wants us to take care of children. Feed my lambs. I think it's important that we take care of children, all children. Take care of, he wants us to take care of each other throughout our lives. Take care of my sheep. To me, that's the church. That's what we do. We take care of each other. And then take care of the poor and elderly. Feed my sheep.
So he talks about lambs, and then he talks about sheep. He wants us to be covered from the beginning of our life to the end of our lives. The scripture can also be interpreted in the spiritual. Feed my lambs, meaning teach my children. Feed them spiritually. It's important to give them good foundations when they're young. Take care of my sheep. Minister to each other throughout the day-to-day struggles of our lives, because we have them. Isn't it great just to call somebody, one of your friends, one of your fellow believers, when you're having a little problem, say, man, I'm struggling with this. And they say, I got your back. Let's pray. That's taking care of each other. And then finally, take care of my sheep. Loving on people throughout their entire lives. And feed my sheep is to continue to teach them to love God spiritually. So it's not only important to learn when you're young, to grow when you're middle age, maybe a little past middle age, but also when you're older. There's no time to rest. There's no time in your life that you're not going to need to seek God. There's no time in your life that you're not going to need help doing it. So both physical and the spiritual. It's the job of the church, not this building, but his people, the real church. So that's God's love for us and our love for God. So by my count, I only have one section left. You guys are definitely going to get out of here for the Browns game. So the last part, our love for each other. To me, this is the most difficult one. And it shouldn't be. If I would just listen to what I said 2 minutes ago about how to love on people is by taking care of them, thus showing my love for God. But it is. The problem I see is that people speak without thinking. They also twit face gram or whatever you guys call all that stuff without thinking. They just post things to share with the world. And that causes, I don't know, maybe about 98% of the problems in the world. I sell technology. I still don't appreciate it. In fact, you know, I've actually said a couple of things in my life I probably shouldn't have. I know, hard to believe. Well, maybe not so hard. It happens to the best of us. So what do we do when people offend us? Either accidentally or on purpose. We love them. What do we do when they hurt us? We love them. What do we do when they curse us and our God? We love them. We show them God's love. It's not easy, and there's no way I could do it on my own at all. I need, you need, we need the love of Jesus Christ in our lives in order to love others. There's no way we can do it on our own, period. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. You may have heard it at weddings because it's the love chapter. A lot of people use it at weddings. In verse 5, it's talking about love. It says, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. That is the key. That's the part I want to key on today. Because there is no way we can love other people if we keep a record of their wrongs. We've got to wipe them out. Because you know people are going to continue to hurt you, right? We need to look past the natural and into the supernatural. Bottom line is God loves them. He wants them to spend eternity with him in heaven. And our job as people, not just Christians, as people, is to show them God's love and to teach them about who he is. We also need to feed them and care for them. That comes later. Sometimes I hear people say we need to love the unlovable. That gets me. Because I don't like it. I don't like the statement. Because I don't think there is such a thing as an unlovable person. I mean, God loves everybody. Shouldn't we? Now, that being said, I do admit there are some unlikable people. I have met quite a few over the past 46 years. Yes, yes, yes. I know I'm older than 46, but I think I liked everybody until I was around 10. Then we started playing neighborhood football, and I realized that, no, I do not like everybody. As a matter of fact, when we lost, I didn't like anybody. But I think we'd all agree that it's easier to like or love people who think and act like us. Yes? Yeah. It's easier. So when we run into people who are not kind, who are unlikable, who don't agree with us, there's one thing we need to do. Introduce them to Jesus. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, also a JBQ question. Says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's another song that I won't make you listen to. I like songs. What can I say? It's in my blood. So that is, I'm not saying it, but that's a good one. It talks about soul fishing. Anyway, this is our commission, our great commission. You see, if we go out to people and we bring them into Jesus, they start to follow Jesus, their minds will become more like the mind of Jesus. Their thoughts will become more like the thoughts of Jesus. And they will turn from their ways, which are unlikable, and take on the ways of Jesus. Sounds simple, right? That's all we have to do. But let's say everybody accepts Jesus. Everything's good, right? Everything's perfect. Well, not really. That doesn't mean we're always going to agree on everything with fellow Christians. Even between the people of the churches, there are problems. I said churches. I didn't say anything about problems in this church. I said between churches. There may be, but I haven't experienced them. I like everybody here, so like I'm 10 again. But between churches, there are problems. Church X doesn't believe in dancing. Church Y thinks there should no longer be speaking in tongues. Church Z thinks we should teach the New Testament only. Church Double Z thinks we need to confess our sins to a person instead of directly to God. And I say, that's why there's 64 crayons in a box. Not everybody's going to like everything or do things the same way. You see, the Bible is perfect. Man's interpretation of the Bible is not. There's a song by the OC Supertones. See, more music. OC stands for Ocean County. It's a tremendous band. Lots of big horn section and everything, a lot of energy. And believe it or not, it was written in 1999 because the first line says 1999. I'm going to tell you the words of the song. I will not sing it. Again, for your pleasure. 1999, and the stakes are high. Our options have come down to either we do or we die. We need you now more than ever. Pull out all of the strife in the church. Get us together. Is time running out? I can't say. I do know we have one day less than we did yesterday. So it's up to us to unite. You want to fight the power? You need the power to fight. The second verse says, no more time for us to bicker and complain. If we're called by the same name, there's nowhere for us to lay the blame except for ourselves. And if we died of our old selves to come alive as God's flesh, that makes us family. D, deeper than death, but we don't act so tight. When there's a back to bite, are we less like a family and more like a fist fight? Are we there but not quite, hypocrites or children of light? And can we sing with one voice? If we all love the same God, can we agree to disagree? And so we cry with one voice to the only God in all the universe who holds us in his hands. There's a great big horn section there too going after. I mean, I know it's a song, but the words, don't they hit us today? It's 2019, not 1999. I can't even believe it's almost 20 years ago. I saw him on stage singing this. Wow, I am more than 46. Reality just slapped me in the face right there. But let's agree on a couple of things between churches. Do we believe in the Trinity? Do we believe that Jesus was fully God and fully man? He came down on this earth, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross for our sins. Do we believe he rose again and sits at the Father's right hand side? Do we believe if we ask Jesus into our hearts and our lives that we are saved and we will live with him forever in heaven? And do we believe he is coming again? All right, I'm just checking. Now would be a good time. We're all fired up. I did that to the kids last week. We talked about the end days a little bit. A question was asked, and I said, who knows? I know Jesus is coming first before any of that bad stuff happens on the earth. So, and then we just kind of paused. And like, he didn't come. Still here. So if we believe in those five things, the rest is just window dressing. We need to start treating our fellow Christians like brothers and sisters, no matter what their choice of church is. I couldn't do double. So that sounds like a pretty simple message, right? It's not simple, I understand. But we can try. We can try with God's help. So I'm going to ask Nicole and the Smooth Transitions to come up. You knew I was going to work that in, didn't you? We kind of named ourselves the Smooth Transitions because sometimes we have a little trouble between songs, and we were working on that. As they come up, though, as Pastor Brad often does, I want to close with a challenge for you. Challenge one, let's pray that God loves us more. All right, Jeannie, shaking their heads back here. No, we know that God cannot love us more. I was just trying to see if you guys were paying attention. God's love is perfect. He cannot love us more. We need to accept that love more, possibly. That's a job for us to do. But God cannot love us any more than he does. How many of us want to love God more? I know I do. And how many of us want to love each other more? You know, there's so many dumb songs out there that talk about love and love and love and love in the earth and it stop all wars and everything. We know in theory that's great. Our love wouldn't be able to do that, but God's love can. He's going to take care of everything in the end. So I have some homework for you this week. It's going to take you longer than a week probably, but that's okay. Just keep going. It's homework, no due date. I know the teachers in the room are going, no due date. That's not homework. But here's your homework. I want you to find someone who is unlikable. And I want you to love on them. I want you to find someone who has treated you poorly in the past or the present. And I want you to love on them. And you're going to need help doing that. So pray about it. Get fired up. Get that Holy Spirit working in you before you go approach that person. But do it. You can't imagine the healing power in that. Not only for you, but for them. And when you show God's mercy like that, God's acceptance, God's love, they're going to know it's not coming from you. I'll just put it that way. It's coming from Jesus in your lives. And third, I want you to find a fellow Christian from another church who has different window dressings and see how you can work together to bring unbelievers into God's kingdom. There's no reason we can't work together. And who cares if they come to this church or that church or the other church? Are they in God's church? Are they part of God's family? When we bring them in, they are. We don't care about this. We do care about the building. We love it. We're blessed with a beautiful building. But that's not the church. So if they want to go to another church, let them go. Bless them. Say, do you believe in Jesus? I do. Fantastic. Go reach other people. Now, once you've completed this homework assignment, you've got one more assignment. Do it again. And then do it again. This homework assignment is going to take you the rest of your life. But I encourage you to do it. It'll make a difference in God's kingdom. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We know how much you love us. We ask for your help right now, Lord, that we can learn to love you more and to love each other more. Impress it upon our hearts to find these people who need you, Lord, to bring them in to your church, to bring them into the knowledge of you so that they can spend eternity with you, because that is your desire for every single person. Lord, I pray that you give each and every one of us an opportunity to do this homework this week. Bring somebody in to us that has hurt us, or who doesn't even know they've hurt us, who are unlikable, who are just plain angry, Lord, and give us that opportunity to show your love to them. Lord, I also ask that you would just bless us through the week, Lord, as we go about our lives. Just touch us. Heal us if we need healing. Bring us those opportunities. And we ask this in your precious name, Lord Jesus. And everybody said, amen. That moves mountains when he speaks. Say.